Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Newsmakers podcast. I am your host, Business Management Editor Matt Bishop. We have a great show on tap for everybody here today. We will be speaking with John Massell. He is the Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Spectrum Design. We'll hear about his firm's work with geothermal, why it's been a good fit for them, and renewable energy solutions. So coming up next, it's John Massell right here on the Newsmakers podcast. And we are now pleased to be joined by John Massell right here on the Newsmakers podcast. John, how are you today?
I'm fine, Matt. How are you?
Doing fantastic. And of course, we are here to talk about your firm's work with geothermal projects. And John, to start, tell us a little bit about Spectrum Design.
Well, Spectrum Design is a small architectural engineering firm that has served the institutional and development needs of southwestern Virginia, the Shenandoah Valley, and the Roanoke area for about 30 years.
And, you know, Spectrum has a nice history of incorporating geothermal into its projects. How did that start?
Well, it started probably about a dozen years ago, maybe a little longer than that, where we were seeing for our clients, especially our institutional clients and specifically our public school clients, that the cost of maintenance for their stewardship of facilities and the operational costs of new capital projects was really exceeding what anybody had anticipated with the escalation in the price of fossil fuels. So with that, we started to look at other approaches in terms of systems. We work with some of the major vendors in the mechanical, electrical, plumbing trades, and saw what kind of products were going to be brought to market that might be more efficient. And it's through that internal research of just trying to be a better resource for our clients that we saw what's relatively old technology, which is a geothermal system, which is using the natural temperature several feet below grade to maintain a constant temperature in a building year-round. And we studied that and started to apply it and have found over the last decade of use that we have been able to save our clients hundreds of thousands of dollars in operating costs over the initial operations of these facilities.
So is that, you know, considering now you've been doing it for more than a decade, is that savings for the clients really what's kept you in it? What's made you stick with geothermal this whole time?
Well, I think savings is obviously, in our society, savings is a big driver. But as architects and engineers, clearly we're committed to sustainability and trying to produce work that has a lighter carbon footprint in the environment, and geothermal technology is the perfect complement of a greener technology and a less expensive technology over the long haul.
Now, John, how many total projects have you done so far? It can be a ballpark number. And how do you see that number growing into the future?
Well, we have actually completed our 14th project with the inception of a large high school addition and renovation project that just went underway in terms of construction in the last 6 months. So we got a really good portfolio of large and medium-sized geothermal design and construction. How do I see it changing in the future? Well, the thing that worries me, Matt, is that funding for capital projects, especially in our region, is decreasing with tax revenue going down and municipalities and counties being squeezed. And we're finding that it is a rare client that is willing to make a long-term decision as opposed to a short-term decision right now because of just the lack of funds to put into maintenance and operations. So I wouldn't say that I'm pessimistic, but I'm guarded about the future of employing this technology with the current fiscal realities that we see.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if you were in a different region, say the Pacific Northwest, where people are very environmentally conscious that you would be seeing this still go up?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, as you know, the economy of Southwest Virginia is strained with the reduction in the demand for coal, and the growth of the region is not commensurate with the growth in other areas in Virginia, like the D.C. Suburbs or the Tidewater area. So we're seeing a lot of consolidation, and we're seeing a lot of municipalities thinking about collapsing one and becoming part of the other. And there's a shakeout taking place, which is really impacting long-term capital decisions. But I think, exactly, if we were up in the Seattle area where there's, you know, three or four major economic drivers in the region that's putting a lot of tax money into municipal and county coffers, yeah, I think there would be a different opportunity for the technology.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, what's the of the projects you've done with geothermal so far, what's the biggest success story that you have?
Well, we were asked by a local school district that's suffering with reduced tax revenue, reduced student population, and they've gone through a consolidation. They have a high school that has never been air conditioned, and 2014, they said, and the community kind of reacted and said enough is enough. The kids are really uncomfortable and we need to do something about it. So our initial charge when we were contacted by this school district was we need to see if we can air condition part of the building. And we worked with them on budget and what their funding stream could be and what their operational cost could be. And we found that when the systems in the building were built, it was reliant, especially the boilers, on a huge amount of oil to operate the boilers. And they were spending, I don't even remember what the amount was, Matt, but it was for the economic reality of that school district, it was really significant. And so we took a step back and looked at that high school facility comprehensively, which was really in good shape and needed to be kept in service. And by instituting a comprehensive geothermal system, which would take care of the cooling and the heating, so it was not only an air conditioning project, but a heating project and ventilation project as well, we were able to 100% eliminate the fossil fuel costs by putting in more energy-efficient contemporary boilers. We're able to reduce the electrical demand, and they have a very handsome savings annually that they can put into operations and maintenance. So a comprehensive geothermal application for that high school resulted in not only air conditioning, but reduced operating costs and a sustainable design to complement the high school.
All right, John, so we've talked about geothermal. In what other ways is Spectrum involved in renewable energy?
We do have a comprehensive AE firm where we have all the disciplines in-house. We have civil, we have MEP, structural, and obviously architectural. When we start a project, especially a new project, the siting of a facility and its orientation has about as dramatic an impact on its long-term operational costs as probably any step that you can make. So our civil department is keenly aware of the type of decisions that need to be thought through with a client right up front before we're even designing buildings to take advantage of the environment. And that kind of puts the whole project on the right trajectory up front. We take advantage of passive solar heating. We take advantage of orientation depending upon the prevailing winds and where the north side of the building was that would get heat loss during the winter months and that type of, and we do energy modeling before we would design a mechanical system. So we'll look at options in terms of maybe two, three, or even four different systems based on the location, the available utilities, and the siting of the building. So we're thinking about carbon footprint of the building and its operating costs even before our architects are even designing a building.
Wow. So with that said, final question for you today, John. Where do you see the renewable energy market heading in the future?
Well, there's a war going on between traditional fossil fuel, the traditional fossil fuel industry, which is positioning our nation to be the number one energy producer in the world. The fact that the Chinese have taken over the production of solar devices and produce them at a much lower cost point. The introduction of not only fuel efficient but non-gasoline powered vehicles, we're kind of at the dawn of that. So I think there is a lot of technologies in play. I think in the long run, the non-fossil fuel technologies will win out, but that could take a generation or two because the discovery of natural gas in the quantities that we've found, and there, it's a cleaner technology than coal. I mean, it's not a clean technology, but it's much cleaner than coal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tremendous abundance of that, and it's stabilized the energy costs, and that's not going to go away for a long time. So I think the future long-term, over the long arc, will be non-fossil fuel technologies, especially for big polluters like vehicles. I think that cow is out of the barn. As far as buildings and industry, I think the jury is out long-term.
Very interesting. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it, and all the best to you in the future.
It was my pleasure. Nice talking with you, Matt.
And that's going to do it for this week here on the Newsmakers Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our interview with John Massell. Thank you very much for listening, and we encourage you to join us for all of our other Newsmakers podcasts, which are available to download for free each Friday on iTunes. For more information on the news and all of our latest stories, podcasts, videos, technical information, and so much more, visit us at achrnews.com. For the news, I'm Matt Bishop. Have a great day.